think that they are transforming events in all the ways that a meeting of that much from each other. Many of us in the group, it has been pointed out, have literary biases, but we also have the group of people, quite a few people who actually do health work and mental health work and therapy, etc., process kinds of things, too. And I think those are the kind of two trends in the group, plus many, many other eclectic kinds of skills and commitments. And I think that, as I said, what happens at these retreats is just really amazing, and amazing on that cognitive level of like new information. God, I never thought of that. I didn't know that. And, you know, and several people in the audience this moment, you know, share in those experiences. I assume that they will validate that what I am saying is something that is possible. In other words, with no money, with no, you know, credentials, with no nothing except a house and a place to be, you know, for a weekend, Black women's culture, Black women's experience is getting solidified. So in other words, you don't need this necessarily. Going back to what we might be looking at and what, you know, and what would not be accessible to us, as I said, we could like go to some of the places that I think have been fairly rich for other kinds of lesbian research. We're going to have to think about our own lives. And I brought two examples of what I think of Black lesbian feminist research and I look at with a great deal of success and promise. These are blues lyrics by two Black women composers, artists. And I just read them to you, and I think the suggestiveness of what's in them will make you see the kinds of things that we can begin to look at as we begin to uncover our lives. The first one I'm going to read is Wild Women Blues. Some of you may know this. I got a different system and a weight of my own. When my man starts kicking, I let him find another home. I get full of good liquor and walk the street all night. Go home and put my man out if he don't treat me right. Wild women don't worry. Wild women don't have the blues. You never get nothing by being an angel child. You better change your ways and get real wild. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't tell you no lie. Wild women are the only kind that really get by. Because wild women don't worry. Wild women have the blues. That is by Ida Cox, whose dates were 1889 to 1968. I don't know what else she wrote. That appears in Louise Brennicow's The World Split Open. And the fact that it is suggestive for lesbian life, I think, is proven by the fact that an author whose name, I'm sorry, I can't remember, is titled a collection of her work, Wild Women Don't Get the Blues. So I think you can see the kind of thing getting at. We just can't, we can't go to archives. We gotta go, you know, to other places. As we said at one of our retreats, we're gonna have to talk to those women, those aunts who are sitting on front porches even at this very moment in the South who never got married and didn't ask them why. So why did you decide not to get married? You know, those leading questions. The other thing that I want to read to you is another thing that you may be familiar with because it has been recorded on the album Lesbian Concentrate from Olivia Records, which is Gertrude Ma Rainey's Poop and Ennui Blues. And this is, of course, an explicitly Black lesbian song. And we should just play it or sing it, but I'll read it. They say I do it. Ain't nobody caught me. They sure got a poop and on me. I went out last night, had a great big fight. Everything seemed to go wrong. When I looked up, to my surprise, the gal I was with was gone. Now where she went, I don't know. I need to follow everywhere she goes. Folks say I'm crooked. I don't know where she took it. I want the whole world to know. That, of course, not Maria. Next verse. I went out last night, with a crowd of my friends. They must have been women, because I don't like no men. It's true, I wear a collar and a tie. I like to watch the women as they pass by. And they say I do it, ain't nobody caught me. They sure got a hoop on me. I mean, there's nothing to say. I mean, it's all out there. There's one thing about this. This is a song by Teresa Troll on the album. She's a white singer. And one of the things we have noted that is not correct is that the line, I went out last night with a crowd of my friends. They must have been women because I don't like no men. That should be men's. The natural black line would be men's because often pluralized those I mean, pluralized in the sense of adding an S and it would make the rhyme perfect, and that's a mistake. But that's a white lesbian, that's the kind of thing that black lesbian feminist critics and researchers could do. What I want to do now, do I have time? I'll just read you a short section from the introduction that I spoke of. Which again, I think, exposes the kinds of things that black lesbian research will uncover. That politics has much to do with the practice of black women's studies is perhaps most clearly illustrated by the lack of positive investigations of black lesbians in any area of current black scholarship. The fact that a course in black lesbian studies has, to our knowledge, yet to be taught has absolutely nothing to do with the non-existence of black lesbian experience, and everything to do instead with the fear and refusal to acknowledge that this experience does in fact exist. Black women, identified women, have existed in our communities throughout our history, both in Africa and America. Another example of black lesbian feminist research is Audre Lorde's recent article in The Black Scholar called Scratching the Surface, Some Notes on Barriers to Women in Loving. That's an April issue of The Black Scholar. And she talks about how they were in need of lesbian relationships and approved institutionalized lesbian and homosexual relationships in Africa. So that when nationalists tell us that we are, the act of products of reactionary white capitalist civilization, we finally have something to throw back in their face. that the subject of black lesbianism and male homosexuality is greeted with fearful silence and verbalized homophobia results, of course, the politics of institutionalized heterosexuality under patriarchy, that is, the politics of male domination. A letter written by the black playwright and political activist Lorraine Hansberry in 1957 to The Ladder, a pioneering lesbian periodical, makes clear this connection between homophobia and the sexual oppression of all women. I'm not going to read the quote because it's available to you in Jonathan Katz's Gay American History, but I will read the next paragraph and conclude. Hansberry's statement is an amazingly prescient anticipation of what lesbian feminist political analysis has actually accomplished during the second wave of the women's movement. It's also amazing because it indicates Hansberry's feminist and lesbian commitments, which have previously been ignored and which will best be investigated through the black feminist analysis of black women's studies. Most amazing of all is that Hansberry is speaking without knowing it directly to us. I will read just one sentence, as he says. In this kind of work, there may be women to emerge who will be able to formulate a new and possible concept that homosexual persecution and condemnation has at its roots not only social ignorance, but a philosophically active anti-feminist dogma. She was connecting the fact, though, that heterosexism, homophobia, and sexism are integrally connected. But that is but a kernel of a speculative embryonic idea and properly introduced here. I'm going to stop now. And I just wanted to say one more thing. This is a revelation that I came to at this conference. And that is to be able to do black lesbian feminist research is, in just about every sense of the word, a luxury. Not everybody can do it. I'm sure that the black women sitting in this room who either would like to do it, I'm getting teary too from this thing, and would like to do it, and for all the reasons that we can comprehend, can't, because they can survive, know exactly what I mean. So I think that the Black lesbian research that I want, that we need, it's going to be slow and coming just because of the oppression that we live under. So I realize that it is a kind of luxury at the same time that it is a necessity. I feel glad that it was born at such a time that my life would coalesce with the movement that would allow me to do it. Thank you.
As I grow myself up and begin to take responsibility for my own life, to care for myself, to become healthy, I can see, I can hear, I can feel, I can taste, I can smell what in this culture keeps me sick, out of touch with myself and what is good for me. The poison, much of which is reported to be medicine, work satisfaction, beauty, truth, affects my whole being. Poison is both physical and psychic. Distinguishing those as though they were separate makes less and less sense to me as I feel my way toward what is good for me. Whatever poison I am forced and choose to accept limits my power. When it's an acceptable whether it's an acceptable level of poison in the air I breathe, or the necessity for unemployment that is used to try to keep me in line, the system functions by inducing me to participate in my own oppression, and at the expense of others, and by trying to force me when I refuse. My oppression is something I can change. My participation in it is something I can refuse. When I see the world this way, I can act out of my own power. I would like to acknowledge the women who have supported me to be here today. Bernice Regan taught me that that is what libation is, and this is my libation. I want to see and speak from the experience of resistance, when that resistance is supported. I could see myself as a crazy person. I could see myself as a monster. I could see myself as a reluctant servant. I could see myself as a saboteur. I could see myself as a rebel. I could see myself as a creator and actor. Depending upon where I stand in relation to that system and which system I serve, myself or theirs. I want to study the system from where I stand, from the experience of resistance. That will change the content of what I see, and it will change my ability to act out of it. In acknowledging my differences, in being willing to see and to speak through them, I am beginning, with the help of my sisters, I see myself as having a great deal in common with others. But most of that is hidden. What we have in common is hidden by the taboos of this culture, and it's the function of taboos to keep us divided against ourselves. The system is structured by taboos affirming what it denies. Just as the slave and the master are part of a whole construct, social definition of each depending upon the unacknowledged behavior of the other, so prostitution sustains the institution of marriage, and homosexuality and incest the institution of heterosexuality and the family. What looks like a state of being is simply a form of social organization that involves participation and collusion of the entire society. Slavery is not a condition of being inherent in individuals or groups. It is a complex form of social behaviors acted out in society. culture of our society says that behavior is gender-linked. When I see in myself, in my experience, in my life, in the lives of others, that this is not so, that any of us can take on any of those behaviors as our own. It takes a lot of courage to admit that I am seeing what is real rather than using what I have learned, which calls me wrong. Rather than seeing the deviance as evidence that the construct is wrong, they tell us we are wrong. It appears that social behavior is biological because the heterosexual system is so closed culturally and because it is so validated as natural, whether in terms of scientific or divine. Could my vision be trusted, or was I crazy? After 20 or 30 years, I began to trust myself more, as opposed to trusting what looked like the rest of the world. What I really saw as a lesbian was that the social behaviors ascribed to women as a state of their being could change, take different forms, develop, have a history. They were not simply states of being. What I saw were relations between people and the environment that could not be contained by the descriptions I learned. As a lesbian, I saw options for women other than social servitude and marriage. And I experienced culture as a description of the world denying these options, a closed system both in ruling classes and the resistance to them which shared those assumptions. Doing life differently, I could see that the heterosexual system is structured as much by behaviors that are tabooed and denied as those by that are approved and visible. These take historic forms in different times, places, under different conditions. They change. Their function varies. They have a history. Heterosexuality is structured by the denial of homosexual behavior in each of us and the approval of heterosexual behavior in each of us. All that denial is running the system. We don't know what would happen if heterosexuality were not compulsive. So homosexuality acts like a hidden motor which drives the culture. I would like to focus on women and on lesbian relations because where the greatest oppression occurs is the greatest power to be released. The male supremacist system functions differently for male homosexuals and for lesbians, and that difference is a power relation. Social sexual system of heterosexuality is built on mutual dependency. Those who deny the socially defined female elements of behavior to call themselves males, and those who deny the socially defined male elements of behavior to call themselves females, are mutually dependent on the other, so that those people, if they are males, are dependent on females, those people, if they are females, are dependent on males. Any one of us can act out that system of dependency. When we are so incomplete, we become distorted, warped, and self-destructive. To the extent that we warp ourselves, we hate ourselves. And this is the basis for getting us to put ourselves down. It is a basis for social control. We need not do that. Mutual dependency is inherently neurotic. What I deny myself, I am both attracted to and resentful of outside myself. This conflict constitutes a civil war in people's heads, which is acted out socially. Historically, it appears visible only as a game or a joke. Its name is the Battle of the Sexes. But the Battle of the Sexes is neither a game nor a joke. It is a real battle. Its casualties are real. Its casualties are women. Rape is international and domestic policy. The activities of this war are not isolated in the culture. They are built in. They have a function, and they can be resisted. We need not be the mutilated other half of a dynamic. We can value ourselves. We can make ourselves whole. This power we have. we need not be or act out the behaviors of victim or serpent. To the extent that we love and value women as surviving creative people who can shape our world, we reverse the gynophobic basis of patriarchal power relations. As a lesbian seeing options for women, I experience a possibility for change. What keeps me from changing is simply incorrect. I'm trying to condense a larger paper in interest of time. Bear with me. Not only does hatred of women, the fear of women, and homophobia drive the system as a hidden motor, but so does incest. First love of everyone is the mother. Unlike Freud, who sees incest relations as the primary basis for patterning of love relations in the culture and puts men at the center, I would put women at the center. When I look, I see a woman at the center. The function of the mother in the family, one of the functions of the mother in the family, is to prevent incest. She is expected to keep the males in her family from having intercourse with the females in her family. And she is also expected to not even have feelings for the females in her family. And so female-female relationships are unthinkable. Many people ask, well, what would they do if there's no phallus and there's no concept? I don't see it that way. I think that it is so taboo that it is hard to think of. But that doesn't mean that it isn't there. If under a system of mutual dependency, which is a hierarchical system, incest relations form the primary pattern for our relations in society, and we can see a mother at the center, then the whole pattern shifts. Mother love is a primary love, the primary set of relations in a system where sexuality carries power. What are the implications of that for women? The original power relation between mother and child is conceived of as a power relation between powerful and powerless, and executed as though this were so. The needs of both and each are not equally important, and our social forms confuse these problems. Mothers end by behaving out of their own powerlessness in ways not appropriate to children. To try to meet their own needs, both parents demand from children behaviors which should have been filled by adults. Such inappropriateness is the basis of incestual behavior. The child learns to respond to the mother in relation to the father, to the father, to the father in relation to the mother, to all of these in relation to the child, all of these in a context of society, and so on. These learned behaviors carry the power relations and become, through defensiveness, part of our own psychic structures. As individuals, we learn and act out of systems of behavior where sexual relations are power relations. From incestuous behavior patterns, the child learns the hidden message that she can get what she wants by using her sexual power. She uses it in a way that is dysfunctional for her in a system which renders her powerless, and she is simultaneously exercising power and powerless. The power that she exercises, labeled private, and the non-kin male-dominated structures that reinforce it are labeled public. This despite the fact, or rather because of it, to confuse us, that capital is a system of private appropriation at the expense of human needs, and life-sustaining systems of nurturance are public work. Our culture has obscured the nature of power, as well as relations of power, by such misnomers. Capitalism both encourages and destroys the social forms of organization that express these functions. When I think about the woman being at the center, and when I think about homosexuality, lesbianism, and incest as driving motives for the culture, I look around and I see a lot of people marrying their mothers. Some people don't see that because they think if a woman marries a man, she didn't marry that representative dynamic which was first formed by her mother in a patriarchal family situation. But I see that. I see us all acting out, not as individuals, but as people with complex sets of behaviors learned in systems that are social and that have a history and that can be analyzed, not in terms of gender, but in terms of behavior, in terms of those social relations, and in terms of the structures that those social relations have to perform specific functions. And we need to name what those functions are. One of them is woman hating. They are racist as well as sexist. And all of those tools are appropriate to confuse us from seeing what those real functions are. We each manage these repressive dynamics in a variety of ways and to a variety of degrees. To the extent that we are socially defined gender people, males and females, we feel we lack something. We seek it, reinforcing the system of mutual dependency. The truth is that what we think we lack is only repressed. So we relate to it outside us, from our repression of it, usually in anger, as a projection. We thus feel trapped or irrevocably hooked, tied in the myth of romantic love, will one day be our other half to complement us that justifies this dependency. In a society and culture which is driven to hate women and to act out behaviors that hate women, loving women is revolutionary. It may be that we as lesbians are acting out what others are acting out, but in non-traditionally female, non-subservient ways. I respect all our struggles. As a lesbian feminist, I am not against males, and certainly not women in relation to men, but against social male mess, social femininity, against those systems, structures, and forms that coerce us into believing this is what our nature is. It is not our nature. Is a system which has a history. I am against behaviors, not people. I see relations, not being, constituting a system of mutual dependency that is self-destructive, hierarchical, and changeable. We can struggle together from different vantage points for what is healing, and I believe that we will. I see the lesbian feminist movement, and my experience of it is that it is involved in the transformation of women. We are moving from seeing ourselves and acting as victims to seeing ourselves and acting as our own sources of strength. What has been hidden is dark. We are feeling as strong and beautiful. We are beginning to release the power of the oppressed, and it feels good to do so.